Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom and Masachet Yom Tov, otherwise known as Masachet Beitzah. Taf Chav Vav Amud Bet, in the middle of a discussion about an animal being Mucham a Shabbat, Ba'imine Hillel Mirava. This, of course, is not Hillel Azakein, but rather a much later Hillel who asked Rava the question, Yish Muktzela Chatzi Shabbat or In Muktzela Chatzi Shabbat. Essentially, it's being asked is whether or not a status of something being out of bounds occurring in the middle of Shabbat, does that now determine or reassign the status of the item and make it muktzah for Shabbat? Hechidami, what's the circumstance? Ida achzi ben ashmashot, if this thing was fit ben ashmashot, achzi, so it's fit for all of Shabbat. Ida lo achzi, if not, then lo achzi, it's muktzah already. So lo tzricha da achzi, it was fit when Shabbat started, v'hadar idchi, and then during Shabbat, it became unfit. So the example Rashi gives is, the classic muktzah is putting fruit out on the roof in order to dry it, and to turn it into raisins, for instance. So let's say it had turned into raisins just before Shabbat, so it's not muktzah, and then it started raining. So in the middle of Shabbat, suddenly it became unusable. And then the sun came out and dried it off, and now it's ready to go. Do we say that the fact that for part of the day it was muktzah makes it now muktzah for the rest of Shabbat or not? Achzi v'hadar idchi v'hadar achzi. My amarle yesh muktzah. So according to this first version, Rava said it does become muktzah, meaning it's rejected. Eitivay. So then watch his challenge from our Mishnah. V'shavin shim nolad from the Braita before. V'shavin shim nolad umumo imo shemunam ruchan. If you have an animal born with a mum, you can eat it. Now you can check it on Yom Tov. Now my name, then this is a Bechor, was born into a Kohen, so he can eat it. And it's born with a mum, so there is no problem of it being a korban. My name, Mahai Bechor Mikara Avichazi Agavime. Think about this. The mother wasn't a Bechora. Clearly, a female is not a Bechora. And so the Bechor was inside the stomach of the mother, was fit, because you could shech the mother and then eat the Bechor. Itjalilei, once it was born, Idchilei. So it was born on Yom Tov. So that was, when Yom Tov started, it was proper. When it was born, it became a Bechor, which now can't be eaten. Achze the Chacham, once he showed it to the Chacham, and he said there's a mum, Ishterilei. He was Materit. So therefore, you see that ain muktzah l'chatzi Shabbat because we're allowing to eat it. Maybe it's a case where the dayanim were sitting there watching this animal give birth to its first one, and it's a male. They're going to declare it a bechor, and they saw the mum. So as it was born, it was already mutar. It never had a moment of dechiyah. That's version one. The other version is that Rava said ain muktzah l'chatzi Shabbat, which means if it started off Shabbat, okay. If it becomes rejected for a while, then it's rejected. But when it then becomes okay again, it's okay. Let me say, so then we had, seem to have support for the bright from the bright of a shavin shim noladu mo emotions avin amuchan v'abchor meikar avichazi agavi mei. It was originally ra'ui when Yom Tov started because it was in the mother's stomach. Itjali lei when it was born idchilei. Then it was nilche. Achse the chacham yishod to the chacham and he said it's a mum kavua ishteri lei. And it's mutar, and we're allowing you to eat it, so you see, ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbat, and it goes back to its state of being muzuman. Muzuman. Amar baye, v'tem rav safra, no, k'gon diat v'dayani hatam, which means it proves nothing, because it could be a case where it was never nindche. So let's see if we could keep testing it. Toshma haya, ochel ma'anavim votir. Let's say you were eating some grapes on Yom Tov, and you left some over. V'alam l'gag l'asot me'an muzimukin. You decided to put them up on the roof in order to make them raisins. Or betaini, votir, alam, the gaglas, what mayhem grow, the same thing with figs, to dry them out. You must designate before Yom Tov starts that you're going to eat these. Same thing about fruit, about peaches, and about chabushin, right? And any other kind of fruit. So, hey chidami, what's the case? E de chazu, if they were fit before Yom Tov, lamalei hazmana. You don't have to be mazmin them, any fruit is okay. If they're not fit, it doesn't help to go up and see grapes that are halfway to becoming raisins before Yom Tov starts and say, I'm going to eat those. You can't. They're not edible. So you think maybe it's a case where you didn't know when Yom Tov started if they were fit. If the muktzah had dried out before Yom Tov, meaning it was edible, and the owners didn't know about it, it's still mutar. Alav the chazu v'idchu v'chazu v'had v'chazu achzu. They must have been fit, then unfit, then fit, like we had before. But if ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbat, which means that they should now be fit, what do you need to be mazmin them for? Alamai yesh muktzah. You're going to tell me that muktzah does affect them? If that's the case, ki azmin lo mayhavi. How does it help to do azmana? Muktzah is muktzah. So l'tzricha da achzu v'lo achzu. The answer is that they were sort of fit. They were edible by some people, but not everybody would eat them. So azmin, once you designate them, galidata, you demonstrate that you're interested in eating these. You are a hearty eater. Lo azmin, if you don't, then lo galidata, then you didn't demonstrate that. It could be that you're too fastidious to eat these not yet perfect raisins. Amar Rizera, toshma. So we're going to still test it. Mipulin v'adashim. You can learn it from the case of beans and lentils. When you first have lentils that are raw, you could chew them. You throw them into the pot. They're mixed with water and they're inedible as is. Once they're cooked, they're fit again. And we're able to eat that in Yom Tov after you cook something from the raw. So Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, just ask about pots in general. When Yom Tov starts, typically they're boiling hot and inedible. And later at night we eat from them. We're not asking about stuff where you yourself are finishing them, and therefore you're putting them through a process, and in the middle of that process they're unfit. That's what you're doing, is you're making them unfit to be fit better later, like cooking. The question was, like the Bechor Balmum, and like raisins that are being affected by the sun, but not by anything that's in your control. Okay, here's a story. Behuda Nasiya, that's from Behuda Nasi's grandson, Havilahu Bukhra, he had a Bechor. Shadra the Kamid Rabbi Ami, sent it to Rabbi Ami, was a Kohen. Savra Lo Mechze, Rabbi Ami thought maybe he shouldn't look at it on Yom Tov to check it. Amar the Rabbi Zriki said, Vitem Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, we rule like Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah said that you could look at the Bechor on Yom Tov. Hadar Shadra the Kamid Rabbi Yitzchak Napacha. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya then sent it, or Rabbi Yami sent it ahead to Rabbi Yitzchak Napacha. And Savar Lo Mechze, he also thought he shouldn't look at it on Yom Tov. Amar the Rabbi Yirmiyah, Vitem Rabbi Zriki, same Chacham, one of the other, said, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, we rule like Rabbi Yehuda. Always, whenever you have Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon, and a machlok, we would like Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Abba, my time, alosh faktin of the Rabbanu Lemiyav, and uvdek Rabbi Shimon. So he said, why don't you let people follow Rabbi Shimon here? Why are you so convinced that we shouldn't reject Rabbi Shimon, and that we should look at it? Amar Levat, ma biadech, what's your proof? Amar Leachim, Rabbi Zera, because Rabbi Zera said, halacha Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Zera here in Tveria said, halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. So Amar Manduhu, somebody said, Ezke ve'esak lahatam, I'm going to go up and there. Agmar l'shmata ipuma demara, I'm going to go find what Rabbi Zera really said. In other words, now we're in Bavel and saying, well, let's go up there as well and ask Rabbi Zera what Rabbi Zera really said. Kisalik lahatam, he got there. Ashkechel Rabbi Zera, he found Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera had been from Pubadid, made Aliyah. Amarle, Amarle, Alach Rabbi Shimon, did you really say Alach Rabbi Shimon? Amarle, lo, I didn't say that. Ana mistab Ramri, I said, it stands to reason we should follow Rabbi Shimon, but I didn't rule. Meditani Matnitin, why did I think it stands to reason? Because our Mishnah says Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Shein Mimoni Karm Bon Yom, Enza Min Amuchan. Alright, that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Uktani La Bebraita B'Lashon Chachamim. Remember, we noticed that in the previous podcast, that the Braita presents that opinion, that's Rabbi Shimon's, as Chachamim. So Shma Mina Mistama Kavate. It sounds like they really inclined towards Rabbi Shimon's opinion, but I wasn't willing to rule. My Havi'ala, what's the final ruling? Rav Yosef Toshma Italia Ba'ashti Ravi. We can lean on big trees, literally. In other words, great Chachamim. Da'am Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul, Amar Rabbi Mishum Kahala Kadisha de Yerushalayim. So he's going back to the great community of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Shimon v'chavirav amru halacha k'rameir. Now this is a little strange, because Kahala Kadish v'shalayim means we're referring to a time before the Churban. And the Kahala Kadish v'shalayim says that Rabbi Shimon v'chavirav said halacha k'rameir, we'll see what that's about. Amru v'ayinu k'shishim minei tuva, they're much older than he is. El v'shitot amir amrua, meaning that Kahala Kadish v'shalayim said a particular halacha, and it's a halacha that later is explicated by Rameir. Dinan, what's a rare? Hashochet the bechor, v'chakach herat mumo. If you shecht the bechor assuming it's going to be a Baal Mum, and then you got the Chacham to look at the Mum, which is wrong. Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yehuda says you could still eat it. Remember, there's a Kohen, and if it doesn't have a Mum, he's got to bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. He was convinced it's a Mum, but the Chacham wasn't there, and the Shochet was, so he shechted it. And then he showed the Mum to the Chacham, and the Chacham said, yes, that's a Mum. Rabbi Yehuda says you may eat it. Rabbi Meir says, since you shechted it without the Mumcha first giving approval, Asur, we fine you, and you're not allowed to eat it. Amakasav Rameir, Riyat Bechor, Lav Kriyat Trefa. Rameir, we see, says that Riyat Bechor is not like Riyat Trefa, which of course must be done after you shecht it, check the insides. And therefore, Riyat Bechor, Michaim, has to be done when it's alive. Riyat Trefa, Lacha Shchita. Riyat Trefa has to be after Shchita. And what's the implication? We know, Riyat Trefa, Filim Bo Yom Tov. Obviously, you could check for Trefa on Yom Tov, because you could shecht on Yom Tov. And you can't check for Trefa before Shchita. Riyat Bechor Riyav Yom Tov. Riyat Bechor must be before Yom Tov because it's something that you must do before it's shechted, so therefore you could do it the day before. Amarle, so therefore you see that we should rule like that if we're following Rebbe Meir, then that we would also follow Rebbe, then Rebbe Shimon's Shita would jive with that, which is we do not check Mumim on Yom Tov. Amarle Baya Atu Hata Meroin Mumim Pligi? Amarachacha and Chachamim are not disagreeing about Roin Mumim. They're just disagreeing about whether we fine you for violating the law by shechting the Bechor before you had official approval. If it was the kind of Mum like in the sclera, everybody agrees that you cannot eat the Bechor afterwards if you shecht it first. Why? Because they change after it's killed. So if it looks like a Mum afterwards, it doesn't prove it was a Baal Mum. But if if we can identify something that's very blatant about its body, like about its nose or about its knees or any of those other mumim that would not change upon death, he says that we fine you because you violated the law, and say any mumim that are only identified and confirmed after death do not permit it as a precaution against Mumin Shemayin. Rebuta says, look, as Rebuta says, we don't make such a precaution. You could hear from Rameir's words that Shmamina Kansu the Kalkani Shmamina. It's not because of an essential halacha about when the Bechor should be seen and therefore not done on Yom Tov, but rather it's a knas because you shechted it without the Mumche, which means Rameir's halacha does not speak to the issue of seeing Mumin on Yom Tov. And we go back to the original position of saying Rabbi Shimon is really on his own. And Rabbi Shimon is on his own, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, halacha Rabbi Yehuda, which means we do check Mumin on Yom Tov, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda Nasir was right to ask for it to be checked, and the Chachamim who didn't want to check were really going too far, and they should have checked it. Here we hear a story about Ami Vardina, a particular guy from Vardina, Chazi Bukhra Deve Nasi Ahave. He was the guy who checked Bukhorot for the Beit HaNasi. Piyom Atab Lavi Chazi, his policy was he wouldn't look at that on Yom Tov. They came and told Rabbi Ami, he was a Kohen, Amar Lahu, Shapar Kavod Lo Chazi, he's doing the right thing by not checking. Ain't he, Rabbi Ami, Gufi Chazi? Rabbi Ami himself would check. Rabbi Ami, Ki Chazi, meant Mol Avi Chazi. He would check before Yom Tov, as we saw from the previous story. Yom Tov, Shu'uli, Kamishayel, Hechi Avi Uvdin. Then on Yom Tov, he would ask the owner, what happened? Did this animal run into a fence? But he would check it and confirm it beforehand. Right, and he would then ask to make sure that the owner was not made to mum mekodshim, because then if he deliberately made the mum, then you can't eat it and it's a fine, etc. Kiado gavra daiti bochor lekame derava apanya demal yom tov. A fellow brought a bechor, and this fellow over there was a kohen, and he brought it to Rava on erev Yom Tov. Havayati Rava v'kachai freishe. Rava was shampooing his head. Dali ainu v'chaz lemume. He looked up through the soap or whatever, and he looked and saw the mum. Come tomorrow. When he came tomorrow, the next day in Yom Tov, he said, what happened? There was a bunch of barley on one side of the picket fence of thorns. And the animal was on the other side. It wanted to eat. And as it went through, the thorn fence ripped open its lip. Amarle Dilma Ad Garmatle, maybe you caused it. Amarle Lo, I didn't. So that was why he would check. In other words, now we see the notion of first checking the mum and then asking about the story behind it to make sure the fellow didn't do it deliberately in order to allow the Kohen to eat it without bringing it as a korban or Bizman Azed being able to eat it at all. So parenthetically, we ask him, not temporarily the Gorma Asr, who says that if you cause the animal to get the mum, not just make the mum, but cause him to get the mum, it's Asur, Tanya, mum lo yebo, any animal can't have a mum, it's a korban, ainly ela shalo yebo mum. All I know is it can't have a mum. How do I know that you cannot do something to cause it, quote unquote, inadvertently? Like putting some dough, or a fig on its ear, so a dog will come and take it and grab it and bite off part of the ear and make it a malmum. Tamalomar kolmum. Amar mum vamar kolmum. Means kolmum lo yabo means you can't even be the one to cause the mum to happen. And that was what he was checking for. And that's why he would first look to make sure the mum was real and then check the front of the background story to make sure it was not caused by the owner, which would then invalidate it and itself be a violation. Okay, I'll pick it up with the next Mishnah, continuing with the description of handling animals, both live and dead, on Yom Tov. The Mishnah should have a wonderful day.